And I think everybody now agrees that climate change is with us here in the UK and abroad. And what we can expect to see is increasing frequency and severity of flooding and possibly drought. Even 2 weeks ago in London, we saw the temperature at Heathrow hit 36 to 37 degrees centigrade, which is quite a substantially unprecedented level. With Network Rail introducing speed restrictions on some lines to manage fears of rail buckling. And by the 2040s, it's predicted that more than half of the summers are expected to be as warm as the heatwave we saw in August 2003. During that month, temperatures exceeded 30 degrees for 9 days in St James Park. And by the end of the century, summers like August 2003 are going to be classified as cool relative to the new climate. So there are very big changes on the way. Successful businesses are those that can adapt quickly to changing environments. And we all have, I'm sure, business continuity plans. But future-proofing and climate change risk are now phrases that are almost as familiar as profit margins and bottom lines in some businesses. And only last week, the Adaption Subcommittee on Climate Change presented its first statutory report to Parliament on the actions being taken by government and others to prepare for climate change. Lord Devon chairs that, and at the launch event, he talked about the urgency of business acting now to adapt to change the environment. And it's something that businesses, he said, cannot afford to ignore. There are some interesting statistics. 260,000 business units employing 3.2 million people are currently located in areas susceptible to flooding from rivers or the sea in England, England being the area of jurisdiction of the Environment Agency. And there are other similar bodies in Wales and Scotland. And 64% of UK businesses have suffered supply chain disruption due to extreme weather conditions, both at home and abroad. And finally, the World Economic Forum's Insight Report into Global Risks 2015 identifies extreme weather, failure of climate change adaptation, and water crises within the top 10 most likely risks this year. So it's way up there on wish registers everywhere, it should be, if it's not on yours. But whilst there are threats to business from climate change, there are, as I said earlier, also commercial opportunities. So some companies are identifying opportunities brought about by the increased risk of flooding and the need to build resilience. They're providing solutions to flood prevention, they're creating products to do this, they're designing new developments, making business while meeting a national need. So in fact, the sales of in this sort of adaptation and resilience sector, if there's such a thing, in 2011-12 were 2.1 billion, representing a growth of 0.9% on the year before. And UK exports in adaptation and resilience to climate change were valued at 266 million in 2011-12. So not massive in national terms, but a growing business. That indeed was an increase of 3.7% from the previous year. And our primary export markets were South Africa and Canada, so heading out to those English-speaking parts of the world. But whether a threat or an opportunity for business, the fact remains that flooding, water scarcity, and heat waves will become common with our changing climate. It's the variability and intensity of these type of events that are likely to be one of our biggest challenges. There are some companies that recognise this and are doing quite a lot about it. And one company addressing supply chain impacts from climate change is Asda. And Asda have worked out 95% of its fresh produce is affected by climate change. And they have a climate change resilience program being developed in order to deal with those risks ahead. Some businesses are also involved in climate change resilience directly. So in 2009, Nestle contributed 1.65 million to help the Environment Agency and local partners develop a flood relief scheme, flood defence scheme, for the lower reaches of the River Dove in South Derbyshire. And this is a partnership funding contribution to a scheme that otherwise would not be viable for public funds to complete on their own. And it reduced flood risk to over 1,600 properties, as well as, of course, Nestlé's own facilities. And it's a win-win result for business and community resilience. It cost Nestlé less than it would have cost them to protect their own business, but it enabled the, with contribution of public funds and private funds, it enabled the scheme to go ahead that otherwise wouldn't have justified itself. So flooding is probably the thing most people associate with climate change. Today, London is very well protected by tidal surge, by the Thames Barrier, together with its 330 kilometres of walls and gates and so on associated with that, alongside the Thames estuary. But due to climate change, seawater levels are rising, storm surges are expected to be more frequent and possibly more severe. And not only that, but the UK is gradually tipping, with the southeast sinking and the north rising, all of which make greater the surge levels from which the barrier protects us. So whilst London today has an extremely high standard of protection, how long will the barrier last is a very pertinent question. My colleagues have worked through a very detailed analysis of all this and produced a report called Thames Estuary 2100 Plan. And it's a long-term tidal flood plan for London to the end of the 21st century. It looks at flood defences that will be required in the estuary over the next 100 years and how these will change depending on the sea level rise resulting from climate change. Based on the most likely scenario, and there are of course most credible high and most credible low scenarios, based on the most likely one, the Thames barrier will continue to provide sufficient protection until 2070, when we expect a new barrier to be needed, currently envisaged to be at Dartford. The plan is one that itself is sustainable, it remains valid, but it can be adjusted depending on measurements taken over future years and decades. And it provides the Environment Agency with the lead time necessary to plan and construct various interim solutions. This plan gives confidence to us, those that work and live in London, and invest in London and in the Thames Estuary area. We provide the assurance that the current flood and future flood risk is understood and manageable. And the plan itself has become internationally renowned. It's way out there in terms of its quality of research and development. And it's being seen by a number of our first world country colleagues as the way forward for their cities too. As well as protection from tidal surge, the barrier can also protect London from fluvial flooding, that flooding that can sometimes occur when long-term, generally, heavy periods of rainfall cause rivers to fill up and overflow. And it can do this by holding back the tide, effectively creating a huge reservoir in London, in the Thames itself, to take that water that would otherwise cause fluvial flooding. But there's a third type of flooding as well, when short periods of high intensity rainfall cause stormwater sewers to overflow and cause surface water flooding. And in some parts of London, there are some parts of London that remain particularly vulnerable to this. London boroughs are the lead local flood authorities, I'm pleased to say, for managing surface water flood risk. And over the next 6 years, we're supporting them with 19 million, 50 schemes to help deal with this issue. And these can be hard engineering, they can be drainage improvements, but also soft measures such as sustainable drainage and more green infrastructure also helps. So we're working with our partners at the GLA, Thames Water, London Councils, on a London Surface Water Drainage Action Plan for the capital that will be published later this year. And it will identify opportunities for sustainable drainage within the estates of retail, commercial and industrial sectors. This approach has come to life in South London, where a group of Herne Hill businessmen are installing green roofs on 30 retail premises. The local business response complements the partnership work between the London Borough of Southwark, Thames Water and the Environment Agency in the same borough to install a surface water flood alleviation scheme from which businesses and residents in the wider neighbourhood will benefit. So many of these surface water issues are not to be solved by a single solution, they're a combination of actions across a space. We need businesses to work with local authorities and other partners to develop projects like this to improve surface water flooding in their community. And this is one type of action the business community can actually take themselves to improve resilience. Now, I said that 2012 was one of the wettest summers on record, but perversely, it was also the summer when the Environment Agency announced environmental drought in the southwest of England and the Midlands. East Anglia, the southeast of England, and southeast Yorkshire were also in drought in that same wettest summer. We monitor water quality, water resources closely, and quality, and despite the recent dry weather, river levels in England are fairly typical for this time of year at the moment. So spells of hot, dry weather can impact on the river's environment, which is why it's always important to use water wisely. But how many businesses have water availability on their risk registers? I suspect rather few. A business that puts a value on the services it draws from nature will be able to make more informed investment decisions, mitigating risk and improving resilience. And at the Environment Agency, we're working with water companies nationally on their water resource management plans. 25-year plans that take account of climate risk. And we're working with the GLA and Thames Water in London on the longer-term picture. And businesses need to take responsibility for the water they use. This is not just about corporate social responsibility, it's about building business and community resilience for the benefit of future generations. Which brings me onto my final point, which actually is legacy. I think we as businesses have a duty to our world city to protect it from and to prepare it for climate change. It's in all of our interests, socially and economically, and it's not just a public sector service to be provided. As London continues to grow, we must ensure it has a new green economy that's taking into account future climate change. There are opportunity areas, such as Old Oak and Park Royal, that the Mayor of London has recently stated could set standards for new technology and exciting approaches to green business, including market opportunities for climate change resilience. The Environment Agency will continue to do our bit to enable the green economy, and I invite you to do the same. Let's make our legacy on tackling climate change one from which future generations will benefit, learn from, mentioned already, and celebrate. As a supporter of the London Climate Change Partnership, we encourage you to get involved too. Sign up to the LCCP and support their cutting-edge project work and become an active partner. This is all very well, but what can your business do now? Well, you can get a business resilient health check. Through the Environment Agency's Climate Ready Support Service, we've worked with businesses to provide tools and guidance to help guide them through issues they need to consider. The health check, produced jointly with Climate UK and Business in the Community, is one example of where we closely work with the London Climate Change Partnership. For those of you who have premises at flood risk from main rivers, reservoirs, estuaries and the sea, you can sign up to our online free flood warnings direct service. This is something which has moved on immensely in recent years, not least because of the Met Office's high quality of analysis of the weather. But it's a joint Environment Agency and Met Office and flood warning system. And it's the UK's first integrated multi-channel warning system, providing flood warnings to the public, professional partners, businesses and media across England and Wales. And it uses, if you sign up, you can get text messages, mobile, digital channels to deliver warning messages directly to customers, be it a business affected by climate change, or Mrs. Jones in the High Street by the River. But to conclude, what I believe is important for you all to identify and work with local stakeholders to tackle your climate change threats and make the most of opportunities at local level. Plan for climate change resilience at your annual business planning. Don't wait for something to happen. Create a legacy for London that your business can be proud to be a part of.